I would like you to turn to the Psalms. Would look at the 11th Psalm. Typically, what I try to do in my preaching is to take you to a passage of Scripture, exegete it, meaning understand what it's saying, and then apply it to our everyday circumstance. You know, you need to have application in preaching. Today I'm going to do something really different. It's been such a burden on my part to try to put this together this morning. And I'm going to illustrate really what God has done and we'll look at some verses that make the point that we're illustrating. So we have a little bit of time here to bring you up to speed of 37 years. In the past, what I've done is I've shown a lot of pictures of our families, and that's a fun thing to do, and but this morning I thought I would approach it a little bit differently today. And so I wanted you to begin with Psalm 11, verse 3. And if we could read that out loud together, that way I can know that we're not just having hearers of the word, but also readers of the word. Psalm 11, verse 3. Can we read this together? If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Now, I looked up different commentaries on that, and without getting into a lot of technical things, there are things that are foundational. There are things that are, that whether it be standards, whether it be government, whatever it is, you know, and if they're foundational, you destroy those foundations, you've ruined what righteous people need. Today we have people trying to tell us the Bible isn't true when it comes to marriage. Or it's not true when you look at men and women. And there are people that want to impose unbiblical foundations. And if that be the case, that destroys God-fearing people who believe the Bible. When I was in college, I used to have to, we had us all read the University Creed, and which are basically foundational truth. It is not everything, but it does need to be there. And the creed that we would recite every time we went to chapel was, we believe in the inspiration of the Bible, both the Old and the New Testament. The creation of man by the direct act of God. The incarnation and virgin birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. His identification as the Son of God. His vicarious atonement for the sins of mankind by the shedding of his blood on the cross. The resurrection of his body from the tomb. His power to save men from sin. The new birth through the regeneration by the Holy Spirit. And the gift of eternal life by the grace of God. I used to know that by memory, and I think I still do. But I didn't want to waste time trying to figure it out in front of you. Because that was probably 40 years ago when I used to say that creed. These are foundations. And if you take away those foundations, you've destroyed a generation of people. And this is why God led my wife and I to come to Kansas. Now, I'm going to also do something that's probably unique. I want you to enter into my personal life a little bit. And I want you to realize that I have been keeping a journal for many, many years. And it gets somewhat personal because I'm talking to God. So I'm not saying reading some of this to impress you so much as I want you to know what was going on in my life. Saturday, January 5th, 1985. Some of you weren't born yet. And some of you were young. And those who were older when I were there are probably mostly gone. And this is what I wrote. And I wanted to write this first part of my journal, which I wrote, by God's grace, I would like to begin keeping records of my daily activities and feelings. George Mueller has certainly influenced me the last few weeks. He says that in his book, that anyone could see the miracles of faith like him. God helped me to simply trust you with the same assurance of Abraham, Hebrews 11:9. God helped me to know exactly where you would have me to minister. And if it be Garden City, Kansas, which is where I was looking to start a church, I had written the Chamber of Commerce, and I wrote, please make it clear to me. Keep me free from being too mindful of Pontiac, Michigan. Because who likes leaving home? May 21st of that year, I wrote, after going to Idaho and Kansas, now I'm from Michigan, and we drove, and I said, I believe God has shown me He wants me to start a church in Manhattan, Kansas. Al Price, a preacher friend who's now gone, called Sunday wanting me to help him in Rexburg. May 22nd, I received a letter from John Lovegrove. Now he's one of our missionaries, telling of the need in Rexburg, Idaho. And I wrote, Lord, I certainly have my doubts sometimes as to whether I should go there. Yet I have had a real peace about Manhattan, Kansas. Lord, please let me not do anything that would be against your will. Thursday, May 23rd, I wrote, God, forgive me for being scared about the future. I know you have always met my needs, but sometimes I forget. I've been having some doubts concerning Rexburg. Are those doubts a result of you wanting me to go there, or is it something you're making my calling to Manhattan, Kansas, more sure? God, don't let me do anything simply because of the pressures of men. May I do everything according to your timing. God, I thank you for leading me. And God has led me. And I want you to see, and of course this is, I was a little younger. That was my graduation picture when I used to know by memory the creed. Got married in 1983, graduated in 82 from my master's degree, taught in a Christian school, met this beautiful lady. And here we are, you know, I'm in 1985 trying to think, now God, what do you want me to do? June 3rd, 1985, yesterday I figured out in the budget for Manhattan, Kansas, it was encouraging to see how there is a possibility by thy grace, God, to have my financial needs supplied. Wednesday, July 10th. Yesterday, I spent most of the day working at on our budget. Thank you, God, for teaching me a good lesson in faith. I know you're going to have to provide if that church is to be started. Help me to trust in you in everything. I became convinced yesterday that you don't want me to request money, but simply believe in you. So I think Faith Baptist Church is a very appropriate name for the church. August 19th, fast forward a little bit, was my ordination. Pastor Mike Harding I was his first ordination from his church, and if you were to look at those pictures, it means nothing to most of you, but of course Pastor Harding, Ron Wagner, Dave Nash, do you remember who that fella is in the front? I know his name, can't come up with it. And then Jack Van Impe's dad. Now you say, I don't even know who he is. Well, Jack Van Impe was a great preacher of prophecy who kind of went in the wrong direction, but his dad stayed true and he was part of that ordination. And I wrote on October 19th about the ordination, and I've been trying to sell my house because I thought, well, if I'm going to go to Manhattan, Kansas, I better get rid of this house. And I said, nothing has become of it. Couldn't sell the house. Lord, I must confess that I was surprised that after praying and fasting the last 3 days, that you didn't give me an indication of your will by having someone make an offer on the house. So I was just praying, Lord, have someone buy this house. Lord, please let me know why you have been so silent concerning our going to Manhattan to start a church. Lord, you know I'm more than willing to start your work. A week later, after praying and fasting mentioned above, a couple came over to buy the house. And then 1 week later, a VA appraiser, which we thought, they're not going to approve this. And they approved it. And we found out that the loan was appraised. And we sold that house for a whopping $26,500. And he said we needed no repairs. So God continued to help Ann and myself to trust you in providing a place to live in Manhattan, and in giving wisdom regarding the start of the church. December 30th of that year, we received money, and I wrote, we will be moving in the middle of January, if God's willing, and we are to close on our house in Manhattan on January 15th. Now, that was another story, but we won't go into that. Our truck broke down, but they moved the closing date a couple days later. A rental truck, of all things, you know. January 30th, 1986. Now, at this point, I would have been 29 years of age. And I'm now looking for a temporary meeting place for Faith Baptist Church, the new church. I had to define it, what I was saying. And on the 2nd... I wrote of February, I must admit, yesterday I began to lose some faith in God and began to become scared regarding the financial expenses of starting a church. God, forgive me and help me to know your perfect will in every situation. Tuesday, February 11th, I was able to get, it's a hard picture to see, the 10-man child care center for a meeting place. All the other possibilities were negative. Mark Stallings, the owner of the Tin Man, said we could meet there. And guess for how much? $15 a Sunday. Praise be to God. March 25th, we had our first service, and we had 18 people come to that service. April 20th, a week ago, Saturday, I found out we had to leave the daycare center. I had already made up flyers and so forth. But that was the 20th. 10 days later, Tuesday, I got it cleared with Henry Otto, the one solely in charge of the Tin Man now. He said, go ahead and meet in the daycare center. We're not going to charge you. So as long as we kept the lawn mowed, I said, I can do that. He let us meet there. May 9th of that year, 1986, the work you have called me to seems so impossible at times. June 14th, I wrote, God, help me to have wisdom regarding the ministry here in Manhattan. Help me to have patience. And if it's your will, to allow the church to be self-supported by next March. And it was. That is my desire, dear God, but if you see fit to have me struggle, thy will be done. So, I wrote on October 20th. Now, of course, what is the date? Okay, so this is why we have our anniversary service every year about this time. On October 19th, I wrote on the 20th. Last night we had our charter signing service of Faith Baptist Church. We had 12 charter signers who also gave marvelous testimonies. Now, I recorded this, and I'm hoping I understand the context of this. I had a tape recorder under the little pulpit I had. And my father-in-law kept saying, you got to record these things. Okay, so I recorded it. So it's a little fuzzy. I hope you can understand it. And Brother Dave can make it loud enough so everyone can hear, but not so loud that people are not able to understand. That'd be helpful. But what we did, and I wanted to show you, Pastor Wilbur Schoneweis, if you were to look here, he's right there. Carla Shigley, I'll make comment about her in this little presentation. Let's see. Of course, there were different people that I could mention, but you wouldn't know. My wife's there. And I gave a little bit of history here of how I got to Manhattan. And it's 3.5 minutes, so, brother, can you play that?
To introduce our speaker, time to time in a person's life, somebody comes along and influences it, you know, and makes an impact on you, and, you know, and I have seen God use godly men to influence me that in that way. And such a person as Pastor Wilbur Schoneweis from Clay Center, I was traveling one summer. Matter of fact, it was a year ago, this last summer. And I was trying to find a place where God would help me find that God would want me to start a church. And I went all over this country, honestly. I did. I just drove miles and miles and miles. I didn't just want to go anywhere. I wanted to go where God wanted me. And actually, I had a few places I could have gone where there had been 4 or 5 families that would have helped me start a church. And the easy road would have been to go to some place, you know, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. I had a place at the Coeur d'Alene, Idaho that was a good, beautiful place up there in the, next to the state of Washington. Had 4 or 5 families wanting to start a church, and I just didn't have a peace. Well, Pastor realized, I gave him a call. I drove around the country and I said, now, you know, do you know of a good area to start a church? And he said, you know, Kansas is where you ought to go. And I didn't want to necessarily go to Kansas. You know, that's not your dream state, usually. I don't think many of you thought of, you know, when can I get to Kansas, you know. And honestly, I never thought much of it. But at the same time, I was here a couple years ago, and I was traveling through Kansas, and God gave me a piece about the state. Well, I gave Pastor Sean Rice a call, and he said, you know, listen, you ought to pray about this place. And he said, I'm not going to tell you where you got to go. He said, I'm not going to play God. And I appreciated that. I was having everybody say, you ought to go here, you ought to go here. But he said, I'm not going to play God. If God wants you to go, come to Manhattan, you know, that'd be great. And he drove me up through Manhattan, and we drove around and looked at the area and saw that there was some growth here and there's a good potential for a church. God just gave me a real peace about it. And I gave Pastor Sean Rice a few months later, gave him a call, said, we're coming. And right away, his church started praying. And Pastor Sean Rice is just a big encouragement. I don't know a lot, I'll tell you right now. I really don't. What I learned from Pastor Sean Rice. I gave him a call, I said, listen, Pastor Sean Rice, what do I do in this situation? He said, well, you know, he won't play God. He said, let me just give you a few suggestions. This is what you can do. And I could go on and on and on and on. And was there anything else you wanted me to say, Pastor? I could go on and on and on. And just think of so many things he's done. He's been such an encouragement and a blessing. He helped me move in. Well, at least he was instrumental in getting someone here to help me move in. And just appreciate him so much. This time I'm going to ask him to come up.
You're probably going to be glad that I didn't play his sermon. Let me show you a few verses that he shared with us. And I think my next picture is with Brother Schoenweiss there. Three passages of Scripture. The first passage of Scripture is in the book of Acts, chapter 20. In Acts chapter 20. Now, Brother Schoenweiss, he read through this entire passage in Acts chapter 20 and verse 25 to the end of verse 38. And it tells us in verse 25 that the Apostle Paul, he's at Ephesus, or at Miletus, and he's sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. Verse 25, now behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day, that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. And that's the responsibility of a preacher, by the way. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn every one night and day. And he goes on and reads the rest of that. The second passage was in the book of 1 Timothy. The book of 1 Timothy, chapter 3. 1 Timothy, chapter 3. I think it was 3. No, it was chapter 4. 1 Timothy, chapter 4. And the Apostle Paul writes, verse 12, and of course this is Brother Schoenweiss speaking to me, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortations, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed, and this is what he emphasized, unto thyself and unto the doctrine, and continue in them. And then he took us to the book of 3 John. 3 John, and he wanted to emphasize truth. And I'm not going to read all of it, but he did. He read this. As a matter of fact, he read so long that I only had a 45-minute cassette tape, and it ran out. So I don't even remember all the sermon he preached. But he did emphasize in verse 1, the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, in whom I love in the what? Truth. And he goes on, and he reads through that. And he mentions, as he reads verse 9 about Diotrephes. And then he mentions Demetrius. And this is where he ended his reading. Hath good report of all men and of the what? Truth. So Brother Shona Weiss spoke, and he challenged me as the new pastor. This is when... And I just want you to realize this. You say, how did you start a church? This is when the church voted me to be the pastor. And this is when we voted on our constitution. And which I had put together that previous year. I mean, previous months. I wanted to play one more segment of this. It's about 5 minutes. How many of you could... could you hear what was said before? Okay, good. Sounded a little younger. Pastor Nathan said I sound a little bit more northern. I had just come from Michigan. But I want, this kind of gives you a little bit of the history of our church. Let's go ahead and play that, brother.
I want you now to look at your bulletin. I want to read a little bit here. This has to do with the history of Faith Baptist Church. And I want us just kind of follow that. And God's done so many things that if I were to start trying to go through all the things that God has done, you'd never get out of here tonight. Between my sermon and Pastor Shona Weiss's sermon and all the food, you may not ever come back to church again. I don't know, but it would be a long time. But I do want to just at least read through this and maybe make a couple comments along the way. The history of Faith Baptist Church. Faith Baptist Church began its first service in the 10-man child care center March 23rd, 1986. And during that first service, we had 18 people, and since that time, God has given steady growth to the church. And the average attendance in July was 25, and the average attendance in September was 29. Now, that 18 that we had that first service, we really had people just kind of visiting in and out. But we began to see as the months went by that people began to get interested, and those who had wanted nothing to do with all this hard preaching and stuff, they were gone. That's a little bit too much for them. But those who had a good heart, many of you folks have been regularly attending, and it's been encouraging to see folks come out. I think of Carla. Carla, many, many Wednesday nights, it was just her and little Mary Ann. I preached to both of them, and Mary Ann gets saved every week. I said, now, Carla, just be encouraged. Keep hanging in there and work with us. And somebody else will come along. And really, you folks have been such an encouragement. And certainly, numbers can be deceiving. That really doesn't say the story. It's one thing to be able to say we have this many people. But it's another thing to be able to say you've had people growing in the Lord. That, in my opinion, that's where your growth lies. And notice this, during the week of July 14th, many of you remember that, those of you that weren't here yet, we had, through the 18th, the First Baptist Church of Troy, Michigan. This is the church that I worked in up in Michigan. They sent down 13 teens and 3 adults to work our vacation Bible school. And if you get a chance, you know, back there in the board, Ann did a real good job of just taking some pictures and some captions and just seeing how God was able to reach some of these young people. We had 3 Bible clubs in 3 different parks in the city. And we also had a teen time in the evening during that week. And certainly as a church, you've got to provide for young people. Same time, young people do not build the church. So you've got to have a balance in that. On June 1st, we began having Sunday school for children and adults and had an attendance of 14. Since that time, the Sunday school has grown with an average attendance of 20 during September. On October 12th, we began a Sunday school of junior and senior high youth with 6 young people in attendance. And we really need to concentrate on young people. And there's so much I'd like to do. And of course, you know, I'm not just talking about teenagers. I'm talking about young ones. Someone mentioned today about having young people singing in a choir or something like that. Well, that's a good thing to do. Something that involves them. And I am just real glad that we've had some kind of outreach with young ones like that. And certainly God has given His people in Faith Baptist Church a mind to see God's work go forward. But of course, you know as well as I know, the history has just begun. And we have a lot to do. And I hope it encourages you to see that God is working in the hearts of people. Now, you're going to have people that make shallow decisions and they stick a little bit and they're gone. It's going to happen. And of course, we should do nothing to encourage that. But at the same time, we do need to have a heart that tries to reach out for people. And you'll find that many people will reach for the Lord. And I hope that you'll be encouraged and that you have a part of seeing God's work in this ministry. And if you were with us right from the beginning, you've seen some definite, encouraging things. And we so much thank you for that. Okay, we're going to take our hymn book once again.
I didn't want you to hear the singing because I was the only one that you could hear on the singing. I wanted you to get a little sense of the philosophy of our church. And this has been from the very start. And so if you'll note here that that was our church. Actually, that night that we were shown, we did our little charter signing service. I don't know what happened to that. It used to be hanging up. But if you could see some of these people, I just wanted to point out Inez Goode, because Brother Willis mentioned last week or 2 weeks ago, whenever it was, that it was Inez Goode. When she went to Germany, she contacted Brother Willis, and Brother Willis came to our church. We then moved in 1989 to this location. It was a motorcycle shop, and we had services there. And, of course, if you could see some of these people, there's Brother Willis there somewhere, I think. Yeah, there's Sherry and Janice Atkins. And anyway, we could mention these people. You say, I don't even know these people. But it is fascinating what God did. Then we moved, as many of you know, to this land. There's Brother Willis right there. And so apparently that last picture, he had already come. Anyway, so we have this picture of when we did the groundbreaking service. I think that would be about over here, about where Brother Joe is sitting. And we built the building. Tom Bard was involved in that. And my wife painted, and you've seen these pictures. And of course, in 1995, God gave us a little boy, our first and only child. And Matthew David Byford. So he was actively involved all the time growing up. And we did this addition over here. And of course, here's another group picture. I don't know why we don't do more group pictures. And this is the church you have now. We have this, I think, on our website or something. I want to transition. Because I want to talk about, oh, here's our 30-year anniversary. All right, I want to talk, well, I guess I want to still talk about me. Here is, I just wanted to point out, now I'm an old guy. I'm a grandpa. I'm excited about that. And he's a K-State fan too, by the way. That little maverick. We went and watched K-State win last night. And not to the stadium, but to their house. And so I just want you to see that years have gone by, obviously. And then here comes Pastor Nathan. I want to just talk about that because I wrote in my journal on Thursday, and we're many years later, February 18th, 2021. A couple of weeks ago, a former member called me about Matt Herbster's son, Nathan. He may consider coming to Manhattan, Kansas to work with our ministry. I called him this morning, and I think the conversation went well. Give us wisdom, Lord, regarding his coming. And one other thing, let me preface this by saying that someone said to me some years ago, Mark Kitchell to be exact, said, you know, you ought to be looking at somebody to replace you. As a matter of fact, my son, my son Matthew has told me, he said, you got to get somebody younger in there. And so it was something we pursued. So here he is calling us. Let's see here. On Tuesday, April 6th, Nathan Herbster and his fiancée are coming Saturday and staying with us till Monday. Give our church wisdom, Lord, as to whether he should come to our ministry to serve. During that interviewing process I had done with Pastor Nathan, he said, well, what do you have or foresee for me? And I told him some of the things that we could be doing, but I said, you know, if God were to lead you, I'd love for you to just eventually take over this ministry. And he wasn't willing to commit to that at that point. Well, they came and they stayed with us. I won't read where he stayed with us. I will tell you, though, that a few weeks later, he called and said that he and Karis believed God had called him to our ministry. My wife cried like a baby. Not that I would do that. And thank you, God, for leading them here. We'll vote Sunday night on them coming. And again, we didn't want to do anything without the church's part in this. Monday, May 17th, last night our church unanimously voted to call Nathan Herbster to be our assistant pastor. Help us, Lord, to properly lead that young man as he serves you in ministry. We also voted to license him. And as a matter of fact, I think I got that picture. He came, there it is. We licensed him, and he came on 5/22. I think I jumped the gun. Nathan came himself and looked at an apartment. I just want you to hear this, though. We went to a Detroit Tigers Kansas City Royal game last night. The Tigers won 7-5. I'm trying to impress this young man coming to our ministry who loves the Royals, and I'm over there cheering, "Come on, Tigers!" You know. He left on May 24th, and today is Nathan Karras's wedding. This is 6:12. Ann and I plan to watch it online, and so he gets married. And let's see here. I'm looking at the clock. So Wednesday, 6:30, and that comes back to this where he came. We met Pastor Nathan, and circumstances made it so that my wife and I needed to go up to Wisconsin, and we went up there, and he preached. First service, he's here as the assistant pastor. I'm gone. And he preached it. And Sunday, July 4th, this morning, Nathan and Karras will join our church and we'll present them a certificate of license, is what that is. And afterwards, we'll have a wedding reception for the Herbsters. Then we plan to go to fireworks in Wamego. And the plumbers joined us for that. I don't know if you remember that. Now, that was 2021, and I just got to fast forward to Wednesday, September 28th. Now, understand that I said to Pastor Nathan, you know, I would love, maybe you consider joining church. He said, "I'm not quite ready for that." So about a year later in 2022, in the summer, I said, "Have you thought any more about that?" And he said, "Well, I'll get back with you on that." Well, in September 28th, of 2022, that's a year ago. Yesterday, Pastor Nathan agreed to take over Faith Baptist Church and to be the head pastor. Help us as we work on a transition period. And for those of you that are here visiting, we are on a transition period. This year, next year, and the following year, he will become the head pastor. And we'll be kind of giving the reins over to him as we go along. So Monday, that's of this year, January 30th, "I praise you, Father, for your kindness to me. Last night, the church overwhelmingly voted to allow Pastor Nathan Herbster to transfer as the lead pastor in 3 years. Afterwards, we went to watch the Kansas City Chiefs football championship game, and if they win, they can go to the Super Bowl, which they did. Okay, keep our priorities on this. Okay, Saturday, this is May 6th. Today is the ordination council for Pastor Nathan. Give him wisdom, Lord, as he answers questions from the council members. Help me, Lord, as I moderate." And then on the 7th, Sunday, the ordination council for Nathan went very well. Mark, Mike, Carl, Matt Herbster, Scott Clewer, J.J. Sexton, Dale and Marcus Heffernan, Mike Schoenweiss, Terry Post, and I were on the ordination council. And I had our deacon, Patrick Zastro, and Karis' dad, who is a deacon in his church, to sign the ordination certificate. And thank you, Lord, that Nathan did a very good job. By the way, he did a better job than I did in my ordination council. And so, of course, he, you know, reminiscing to when I got ordained. And now God called him to be the pastor of our church. He's got a growing family. And, you know, you said, "That's so precious," you know. And nobody said that when my picture came up. So, I want to end by going over to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And I was so glad that Pastor Nathan emphasized this throughout the whole song service. In chapter 10, in 1 Corinthians, it tells us in verse 31, whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. The book of Colossians tells us in chapter 3, and if you'll turn there, and this will be our last verse. I had a terrible time preparing for this because I had no idea what I was going to say other than trying to go through and read some of this. We're told in Colossians chapter 3, and whatsoever you do, verse 17, in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father for Him. And I wanted you to see this because I'm just one life that God's brought into this world. Pastor Nathan is just one life God's brought into the world. You have been brought into this world. And you have a ministry if you know Christ as your Savior. And what you need to realize is we all need God. And you live without God, and that will destroy you. You might make a lot of money. You might become famous. But in the eyes of God, you are a failure. So, seek God. Search His face. And find out, what would you have me to do? I do believe that God, and I tried to illustrate that this morning, God led me to this church. God led Pastor Nathan to this church. He'll give his story sometime. And we're so grateful that without God, we're nothing. But let me just say, we are to give glory to God. And let me just talk about the glory of God. That's kind of a nebulous phrase that Christians use sometimes. We're talking about the perfections of God. God is perfect. He is righteous. He is so wonderful. You can trust Him. You can depend on Him. And because you can trust Him and depend on Him, it's sometimes hard in this life. But you can be sure of this, that our God will provide for you. He will provide. And I hope that you do not look at what we have just presented to you as, well, look what Pastor Byford did. I told you I was scared. And I was trusting God. And God did that. God does that. And you'll get scared when you start, like Peter, looking at the water that Jesus invited him to come walking out on the water. He looks at the waves and says, man, I'm going to sink. But God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think. Let's stand together. Our Heavenly Father, we are truly in need of You. And we, without You, can do nothing. And if the foundations of this ministry are destroyed, Lord, I pray that You'll close the doors. And God, I pray that if there be somebody here that needs to be saved, they do not know if they're really in a right relationship with You. And if they need to accept Christ as their Savior, Lord, I pray that You would speak to them to respond to You. If there's a Christian here who's not in fellowship with You, Help them, Lord, to respond to you. And may you get the honor and the glory in our lives. The pianist is going to play, and if God is speaking to you and you just would like to just kneel at your seat and pray or come up to the altar to pray, whatever your need might be, we're not trying to pressure you to do something that God's not telling you to do. But let me just say, if God is telling you to do something, respond to Him. And as the pianist plays, if you need to come, you come.
Lord, just not on the Bifords' lives or the previous members of this church, but Lord, on this ministry as a whole. Lord, many faithful Christians have come through this ministry. Thank you for their faithfulness to you. Lord, the Bifords and others in this church would be the first to say that the help of other people is what kept this going. So Lord, I pray for our church today that every one of us that are members now would embrace the work that you have for us here. Lord, may this